Oh, I love that. I love that.
We're live.
So let's talk about micromanagement.
Oh, shit. No, I mean, I started over.
Oh. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Feed Me Your Construction Content. I am Carolyn McMahon.
I'm Joshua McMahon.
Could you put the sonic blast away?
Can I have one thing to myself?
This fool is trying to take a bite when I'm talking.
When you're talking, I can eat my sonic blast. So just keep talking.
All right. So y'all, I'm going to be doing some talking for a little bit.
Yes.
All right. So today's podcast episode, micromanagement or micro leadership.
And
now, did I already say that wrong?
Yes. It's micromanagement or
macro leadership.
Macro leadership. You said micro.
Well, okay. Edit that out. Please.
Okay.
Okay. So on today's episode, we're going to be talking about micro.
Do it again. I was talking in between you.
Which, on today's episode?
Yeah.
Okay. So look, on today's episode, we're going to talk about micromanagement or macro leadership.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite discussions. I love macro leadership.
But you like to micromanage me.
Oh, no. I do a terrible job of micromanaging you. You like to micromanage me.
Macro.
You micromanage me managing the job.
Well, and we talked about that today. It's me asking questions. I want to learn.
Yes, that's very true.
If I didn't care, I wouldn't ask.
You're right.
Just someone else just not understanding me.
Well, yeah, look, it happens. Communication is difficult.
Yeah. Well, let's really dig into micromanagement and what that means.
Yeah, big difference between the two, micromanagement or macro leadership. Micromanagement, five different points. First one, close supervision. Goes without saying, right? Micromanagers are in your business. You don't get a safe space. You don't get a comfort zone. What do the kids say today? You don't get it. Whatever it is, you don't get it. They are in your grill. And they're going to manage your day-to-day. They know what your activities are, your tasks. They are on top of you. They're looking for frequent updates. Why haven't you responded to my text yet? I'm asking about house number X. Sound right. Familiar?
Well, I don't do that.
Doesn't your boss do that to you?
No. not at all. But I, you know, for those listeners who have children, to me, it's like being a helicopter mom or a helicopter dad.
That's good.
Right? So you just never, you know, your kids are never in a space to make their own mistakes. Same thing in supervision, right? I'm just going to be on them all the time. There'll never be a mistake, you know, one that I'll have to, you know, clean up.
Yeah.
Correct.
Oh, that's what it is. So the micromanagement and close supervision is because if I don't manage them this way, I have to jump in and clean up their mess.
Right. It's going to cost me more time.
Oh, exactly. If I want it done right, I'll do it myself.
Or I'm going to just shadow you and make sure you get it right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a big problem. I'm sure that everyone has dealt with this type of management style. Second part of the micromanagement is just limited autonomy. Right? Because they're in this micromanaged environment. They have limited autonomy, and decision-making authority, right? They can't make their own decisions, you know, out of fear, fear of doing the wrong thing, you know, making their bosses mad. You know, they don't have any room for their own creativity or independent problem solving. And that's a big issue because that employee can't grow.
The number one thing you're hired to do in a management situation, in a construction role, superintendent, whatever it is, bricklayer, anything in construction, is solve problems. It's not just A to B. You're just not moving pieces around like a warehouse. It's not the same thing over and over and over and over again. To some extent it is, but the difference is we deal with problems in there too, and you have to be able to solve them. And without autonomy to do that, solve them, be creative, then everything stops.
Right.
You become a pinch point. Another point on this is high control. Kind of goes without saying, right? It's just like the close supervision. High control is another idea.
Right. But this person wants to specify the exact methods and processes on how you get it done.
Oh, that's right. They want to dictate the means and methods to you.
Right.
So you went to Superintendent 101 school, and now all of a sudden you're the expert trim carpenter. How many times have we ran into that? Right? I mean, we're doing cabinet installs, and you got the superintendent saying how you install cabinets.
Right.
How you can install the cabinets with the trim carpenter in there.
Or, you know, I have a little bit of knowledge. You know, I joke that makes me a little dangerous, right? Because then I think that I know everything. I've got this little nugget, and I just run with it.
Yep. A lot of people are that way. They learn something. They got a new trick. And then like, ooh, I can't wait to deploy this everywhere. Right? They've got one tool that solves 80,000 problems.
Right, which leads you into the next point. You know, that micromanager, you know, they don't trust their team to make decisions without the oversight. So it's just that lack of trust. They just can't seem to let it go.
Yeah, I think trust is a big part of the problem. Micromanagers typically don't trust anybody.
Right, and if I am that employee or that subordinate, you know, and I think that my manager can't trust me, I'm afraid to do anything.
Oh, absolutely. You're afraid is an employee of how they're going to respond. What if I make the wrong decision? What if I don't do it fast enough? What if I, like, the what ifs roll through your head consistently, and then you just don't do anything.
Oh, right, because I'm sure shit not motivated to do anything.
Oh, absolutely not. I'm going to wait till you tell me what to do, boss.
Right. You have to give me that priority. You have to tell me what the next move is, because otherwise, I'm just sitting.
Look, if you try to micromanage me, I'm going to work your ass into the ground. Because whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to go work at it as fast and as hard as I can, and then I'm going to come back to you and say, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? I'm going to wear you out. So I like to micromanage the micromanagers.
All right. Just beat them at their own game, right?
It's just a little trick, right? Because they're going to run out of work. They're not that smart.
Well, and, you know, finally, for those micromanagers, it must be exhausting doing what you do.
I hope so. That's why I do what I do, right? I like to lean into problems, and micromanagers are problems.
Right. And that style of management is just, it's time consuming for both the manager and the employee.
Well, when I think about micromanagement, I really do think it all comes down to trust. I think it 100% comes down to trust. And if you don't trust the person, get rid of them. Let them go. I mean, it's a non-negotiable. If you don't trust someone, it has to go away.
Right. Or if you're not trusted, quit.
Yes, absolutely. Trusting and trustworthy is such a critical component of the industry.
Definitely. So if we flipped that and we lean into macro leadership, what does that look like?
So the stark difference is micro would be on the small level. Micro would be on a house build. Micro would be the tile install. That's a micro piece of the house build. Macro view would be the entire house. So yes, I have tile going in here, but I also have landscaping going on out here, and I've got all these things lined up for the next 4 days.
Right. It's the big picture.
It's the big picture. I'm thinking globally. And then if you take it even further, it's not one house, it's multiple houses, and it's moving all these resources between all these different houses. And if you're managing on a macro level, you don't have time to get in the weeds and be in the micro. It just drains you. And not only does it drain you, but your project will be off the rails in a moment's notice. And the moment it's off the rails, it takes weeks to get it back on the rails.
Right.
And it's exhausting. So macro leadership, point number one, empowerment. If you're a macro leader, your people feel empowered. They feel good. They have the autonomy. They have the authority to make decisions. They have the authority to be creative, to solve the problems. It leads to ownership. I've been a big fan of saying, if you're a superintendent, you're a business owner in a sense. You own this portion of the business. If you're a purchasing manager, you own this portion of the business.
Right.
And when you have macro leaders overseeing you and guiding and helping you, you take ownership. So when something happens, say purchasing a cost code goes over budget, You take ownership of that and you say, wow, how did that go over? What do I do different? What can the field do different? How can we get together and collaborate and make this better? Same thing with the field. Everybody is interested in how do I make it better?
Right. And I think empowerment works in both positive. I mean, it's positive, but it also empowering your employees to make a mistake.
Yeah, that's right? Powerful, right?
Right. And be okay with it. And telling that employee, like, look, you're going to make mistakes. There's nothing that we can't fix.
You know, the key to that one is if you're a leader, share your mistakes.
Listen, I joke that I've learned by my mistakes in my career, and boy, do I know a lot, right? Because it's just, you know, the sting of the mistake stays with me, and I'm cognizant of that, and I try to do better every time. And I remember those, you know, missteps, and I don't want to do it again.
No, that's right, because you have ownership in your job. You take pride in your job. You don't want to make those mistakes twice, because, again, you take pride in what you're doing. Right. You want to be better. You want to be the best version of yourself every day. You want to beat yesterday.
Right. Well, this is definitely what you, I think, do more than most, is that you have the strategic vision. I am more of a micro person.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying I'm a micro manager. I'm not saying I'm small.
No, you are detail oriented.
But I focus on, like, what's in front of me.
Yep.
Versus, you know, the big picture. So I do have to appreciate you in that sense. And as management, I think you often have to do that. Like, look, I could destroy this relationship in the here and now, but I have to look at the bigger picture. And that is so hard to do on a lot of things.
It's very, very difficult to do it. And it's hard to do it because when I'm doing that thing and I'm making those decisions that I'm saying, this is a global decision. This is a 3-year decision. Other people, micromanagers I've worked for, criticize my decision. That's a mistake. We shouldn't do that. I'm saying, can you share why we shouldn't do that? What are you thinking that I'm missing? Because I'm looking so far out in the future that I'm saying it is so critical that not only do I have this superintendent or project manager or purchasing agent bought into what my vision is and where we're going, it's also critical for the trades to be in the same alignment.
Right.
I need that more than anybody else will admit. We're paper contractors. We don't have labor in-house that does all the work. Right? I work for a GC that is a paper contractor. You work for a home builder that's a paper contractor. That means that we don't have in-house staff that goes out and swings the hammer.
Oh, right, right.
We need the trades. We need these individuals.
Sure, and you need to have really strong relationships. But, you know, that macro leader is still setting goals and expectations and objectives, but they're giving the employees the flexibility to get it done in their own way.
Well, I think that's huge. I set very high goals and very high expectations for my team. And I help them. I guide them to achieve those goals. And I want them to set goals that they don't think are possible. I'm like, what's the goal that you think you can't hit? And then once I get that answer, I'm saying, well, what do you have to do if you want to hit that in 3 months? Like, well, how am I going to hit in 3 months if I don't even think I can hit it? I'm like, well, if we put enough focus on that goal, I bet you we can hit it in 3 months. And I say, well, I don't want to set a goal that aggressive. And then what if I don't hit it? I'm disappointed. I'm like, but look how close you came. If you aim for the moon and you hit the stars, aren't you still pretty damn impressed with yourself?
Oh, boy.
That's the strategic vision. This is how we're going. This is where we're going. In that, it comes down to, I said this earlier today, it comes down to absolute trust. I trust my team, my people, to the nth degree. I trust them to make mistakes. I trust them to make the right decisions. I trust them to be transparent and share with me, this is what we've got. This is where we're stuck. What do you think of this? I'm not there to tell them the answer. I'm just there to guide.
Right. I mean, you give them their work product, or, you know, you let them know and delegate what they need to do. You just trust that they're going to get it done.
Absolutely. And I trust that if they need help, they're going to ask me. They can always reach me.
I mean, I think that's the flip side. For sure.
And when you go back to that strategic vision and that big, wild goal that they're like, I can't hit that goal. But if I'm guiding and I'm coaching and I'm helping them, then there's nothing keeping them from hitting that goal. The only thing keeping you from hitting that goal is yourself, because I'm clearing every path, every obstacle that's in your way. I'm clearing it.
Right.
That's what a macro leader will do.
Yeah, and I think a macro leader also, I mean, really invests in employee development. And there's a difference between micromanaging them and, you know, dictating every bit of the process of doing whatever. They're investing in the development by spending time with them, mm-hmm. explaining how things are done, maybe the why behind something, because that's how I learn. I need to know how it works. And then there's this light bulb moment. But I mean, you help, you know, skill building, that's crucial for their development.
It is absolutely right. And good macro leaders will make time for their people first and foremost. All the other stuff is secondary. So when I'm sitting down and I'm talking to somebody and this is what I'm doing, we're doing a one-on-one or whatever we're doing, I don't have my phone with me. And if I do, it's off to the side. I don't care who's calling me or who's texting me, because that's not important in that moment. The most important thing to me as a macro leader is you. And I want to invest everything I have into you and into your development. Because I don't want to be the reason you don't hit your goals.
So what's up next?
Efficiency. My big push is not how fast can we build it, but how efficient can we build it? I read this article the other day on LinkedIn where they said, what happened to the 30 and 90 or 60 and 90 day builds? How do we get back to building homes in 60 to 90 days? It's efficiency. If you focus on the days under construction, you'll never hit the days. Whatever day I give you, you'll do more. If I say you need to build it in 90 days, it'll take you 100. But if I said, I want you to be so efficient that no minute goes wasted, no day, no half day, be efficient. Everything you do is efficient. There's always something happening in every home. And it's not just something, it's something critical path related. How do I get to my goal? And from that, from the way we're leading as a macro leader, you start to find innovation. Your people will see, they'll see the constraint before it hits, and then they'll say, oh, this is what we do on this one, because they learned from the last one. They'll change their process. They'll invest in their trades and say, hey, last time it took you 2.5 days to finish this job. What if I did this? Would this help you get down to 2 days? And then you start getting trades bought in, and then they start saying, oh, no, if you did this, I can do it in a day and a half.
Right, and it's not that you have to worry about your house falling down in a 60-day build, right? But that it was built with intent and efficient methods. And, you know,
I think that's a fair point, because I do think that is what I would consider. Like, oh, you built it fast, so is the quality not that good?
Right. What shortcuts did you take?
Absolutely. You had to skip something. What do you mean? You got a 4-year degree in 2 years? Okay. What did you skip? What, how did you advance everything by 50%?
You just cheated.
Yes, exactly. My biggest thing with macro leadership, it creates a continuous improvement environment. Your culture is thriving on how do I get better. My favorite superintendents and project managers and other individuals to coach and bring on are people who are just thirsting for knowledge. Teach me more. I need more. Help me grow. Those individuals, that they're rocket fuel. Especially for somebody like me, like I thrive on those individuals. They're like, man, how do you have so much energy? I'm like, you are just filling my tank all day, everything you're asking for. Because I give it to you, you chew it up, you go apply it, and you crush it. I love it. Let's summarize this. Obviously, I'm pro macro leadership. I think you heard that in my tone of voice in this podcast episode. But I would encourage you to consider it. Micromanagement for me is a command and conquer. It's an old school, outdated methodology. It doesn't work. It's the push and pull. As construction managers, our way is push. I'm just going to hammer the shit out of them until they do it. They're going to do it because I'm going to back charge them. You're going to do it because I'm the boss. You're going to do it because I'm the builder. I'm the GC. What does that even mean? That skill set is no longer valuable. So I would encourage you to look into macro leadership, look into servant leadership, transformational leadership. There's other ways to do this stuff. Summary, micromanagement, close control. Very tight supervision. zero trust, low autonomy.
And listen, and we're not saying that macro leadership, there's no oversight in that style of management. You know, you have to do some check-ins, but ultimately that employee feels empowered to get it done in their own method. They're trusted to get it done just in general, right? To do the assignment.
Absolutely. Yes, because I would say I'm going on a limb because I don't know firsthand. I would say your boss is more of a macro leader. He trusts his team to a level very similar to how I trust my people. He's not a design person. He's not a salesperson. He trusts those individuals he put in those roles, and he trusts that they're going to do the job they need to do.
Well, right, and that's where his skill comes in. He puts the right people in those spots. And so, absolutely, he's not a macro manager. I mean, or macro, whatever.
He's not a micromanager.
He's not a micromanager.
But he's a macro leader.
Correct. And he gives me the autonomy to do what I need to do to get it done. He doesn't give me a problem. I mean, he always knows that I'm working. If I'm out of the office, I'm working out of the office or doing something. I mean, he just doesn't, he can't be bothered with that kind of stuff, right? Because like we said, it's exhausting to where are my employees? What are they doing? They're constantly thinking about where they are. And he trusts me to a level that he knows that I'm going to get it done.
That's exactly right. And when you look back on your career, if you go back in time to other builders where they didn't have that, they didn't create that environment, you were miserable. Now, you're a lifer. When you go to a company, typically you don't leave. You'll be there for 5, 10, 15 years. You have no intention of leaving.
Yes, but, you know, meeting you.
Well, I helped you see that was unnecessary. It's not healthy to stay in an unhealthy environment.
Right, or unhealthy relationships.
Because sometimes perception is reality.
Oh, boy. Right. So, but now I've found my fit.
You have, and you're thriving, and you're doing great things. And I think it shows in your work product. It shows in your attitude and how you carry yourself.
And it's, I really think it is due because I'm allowed to do it.
That's exactly right. The only glass ceiling over your head is the one that you've put there.
Righto.
That's strong, but that's really what it is.
So, y'all, who do you want to be? Who are you?
Do you want to be me, or do you want to be that helicopter pilot dumb on your employees' heads?
Helicopter parent.
Oh, yeah, helicopter
pilot. I mean, I want to be a helicopter pilot.
Me too. That was always my dream as a kid.
So, damn. You know, a little slip there. But anyway.
One day.
So, who are you?
Who are you? What do you want to be? Look around. As you're listening to this episode, think about it. Have you had any micromanagers in your career? What did you like about their leadership style? What did you despise? Because sometimes in that environment, you will become that person that you dislike.
Well, it's no different than growing up in a household with...
You are right. Your culture. Whatever you surround yourself with, you become. Remember, I worked at a company that was very toxic in that manner, and I became more of that person. And you said, I don't like who you are. And I'm like, I don't like who I am either. And I am working hard to find another job and get the hell out of here.
Yes. And
it all worked out. So think about that stuff. What do you want to be? Who do you want to be? How do you want to be portrayed? What do you want people to say about you? It's all big stuff. So any questions on macro leadership? Man, give me a call. I love macro leadership. I think it's the way of the future, and I hope more people buy into it. Until next week.
See ya.